Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, alongside the coffee drinking, give me some caffeine in the morning, Stephen Julian. How you doing, Stephen?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
Good. I assume it's regular coffee, or you go with a decaf?
No, it's regular. Decaf is the biggest waste of time in the history of mankind.
Why bother, right?
Yeah. I mean, I might as well just be drinking water. I know our shows are timeless, but I am hoping beyond hope that we don't hear any pollen during this show, because I think all of us in this room have now commented about so we'll turn to the side and we'll be okay. There, right. I did it. Now we won't do it the rest of the show, right?
Well, we've got three great guests.
Absolutely.
We're not going to talk about pollen, but we're going to talk about growth strategies. We're going to talk about IT, things like that.
I like it.
Joining us on the show, Jeremiah Plaskett and James Willard. They're with Biteworks, which is located miles and miles from our studio here.
Long commute.
Yeah, actually, it's like two floors above us. So now we know, you know, when we hear all that stuff going
on
up there.
That's what I hear.
We take the broom handle and we hit the ceiling and say, hey, quiet up there. And now we know who we're talking to. And Robert Minskoff is with Minskoff Growth Strategies. And I have no idea where he's located. Actually, he's located in Flowery Branch.
Flowery Branch, yeah. He'll tell us that. Yeah.
Home of the Falcons.
There you go.
All right. But before we get to Robert, we're going to talk with Jeremiah and James. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us on.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Biteworks. I know where you're located, but I know nothing about your company. Go ahead and tell us what you guys do.
So Biteworks, we're a information technology provider. We deal in mainly about six core areas: route switch, unified communications, storage, virtualization, wireless, and security. And we like to take a different approach with our customers than most other providers in the IT space, where they go in with an objective to, they want to come in and sell some amount of hardware, or basically come up with a predefined solution and try to push it to you. What we do is we take an engineering approach. We come in, look at the needs, try to identify what it is that actually would benefit you, and then design it around that, even if it means that we're not selling certain hardware. We just try to lead with a solution and figure everything else will follow by developing the relationship.
I love the name, by the way, Biteworks, B-Y-T-E, Biteworks, as in IT, bytes. Any story behind the name other than it's a pretty cool name?
Well, we, you know, it's always tough to find a name that's going to make sense and be something that people can kind of identify, have an idea of what you do, but not pigeonhole you into any particular area. Because technology is vast and ever-changing, we didn't want to pick something that would lock us into a particular, give us a certain branding. So with Biteworks, it gives us the flexibility to work with technology at all types as it changes.
Tell us about the company, how long you've been around and been in business, and the experience within the company itself. And you guys, by the way, are partners in Biteworks.
Correct. I just joined the company last year, and in August of last year. It's funny, though, the history of the partners. We've worked together for over 10 years, and James and I met working for a defense contractor, actually right two buildings down from here, about 10 years ago. And we maintained a friendship over the years, and we also worked together on projects even while we were working at different companies as our careers progressed. And it was just a natural choice for me to come back to partner with these guys. It's actually something we had kind of planned on for several years. And then James himself, our other partner, is a guy named Bud DeWayne, and we have another partner named Chris Cook. Those are also two engineers that we've worked with throughout our careers, and we've all known each other actually from the same defense contractor several years ago, and again, just maintained contact throughout the years, and it was, you know, very happy to be together and tackle IT differently, because we've seen it done the wrong way for a long time.
Jeremiah, you James kind of started off the interview talking about some of the six core areas that you guys handle in IT, because IT is a huge, and you also talked about it, James, that it's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. Focus, if you will, on maybe two, maybe three of those core areas that you see right now are the biggest needs in your clients and potential clients?
Absolutely. I'll start with an area that I focus on, although this may not be, you know, the main area, but it's definitely a hot one, and that's collaboration. James mentioned it. It's been referred to as unified communications. It's kind of one of those technologies that that keeps rebranding itself and re-identifying itself. But what it really is, you hear unified communications and collaboration, and you're like, okay, what exactly is that? In a nutshell, it's IP telephony technologies riding on your computer infrastructure and converging to give you a lot more flexibility and features and enhancements in your voice experience in a business. And so, for example, that could be your actual desk phone. It could be your instant message client, like I'm sure people have heard of Microsoft Link and Cisco Jabber and those sorts of technologies. We specialize in those. Click to call from your desktop. And then, of course, video being a huge part of that. Video conferencing, web conferencing. You may have heard of Cisco WebEx. We're a Cisco WebEx partner. But we are vendor agnostic. We deploy all sorts of unified collaboration technologies regardless of the vendor. And that is definitely an area that is hot right now. It's hot because of the savings and return on investment companies get out of switching to an IP telephony infrastructure versus maintaining legacy TDMA infrastructures, which is becoming harder and harder to support. And the other area that we really specialize in, and you hear this a lot, is cloud technologies, and it can be very confusing. James, you want to explain that a little bit?
Sure. So people use cloud as a buzzword a lot, and it's kind of our own collective pet peeve within the company is when people use it and abuse it, because there are a lot of technology providers out there, IT service companies, that come through and they give you this big cloud presentation and you've got to use the cloud, and they're writing just simply the buzzword and the wave of this what people think is the next thing coming. What they fail to do in many occasions, and where we typically, when we're stepping in, helping customers sort through what they now have, is they've been misled on what exactly is cloud technology. And there's also providers out there who brand their services as cloud services when all it really is a hosted technology, right? So there's a lot to be said for the capability and the cost savings that cloud provides. But there's also a lot of confusion between what is cloud and what's just simply hosted somewhere.
So you obviously one of the things that you guys are trying to differentiate yourself is the solution.
Correct.
In fact, you guys have on your business cards that you're solutions executive. I love that. Great name. So do most of your conversations with your potential clients start with, we got a problem and someone told me to call you guys, or is it, I really think I can do a lot better than what I'm doing right now, and I want you guys to come in and consult and kind of help me work through this mess? Or is it a combination of the both? Or, last thing, am I just totally way off base and it's something totally different?
No, it's a combination of those two, I would say. There's some of our customer base we've picked up because they have been, you know, they're in their urgent spot because their current technology or technology provider has failed them. And they need someone who can help them fast.
I have flip phones for my cell phones, and I'm using the rotary dial on my desk. Can you help? Right, that kind of thing. Someone told me I need to upgrade. Right, so that's one. So what else do you guys come across?
Well, typically, so if we're being introduced by someone who has an urgent issue, it's because something of the infrastructure, typically within storage virtualization, their servers, something has failed, and no one else is able to come in and help them. So part of our customer base is coming in, kind of rescuing people, getting them back up and functional, getting their business churning again. And then after that, we can then take a step back and try to plan more strategically with them. How did we get here? What caused the problem in the first place? What is your long-term strategy, and kind of develop a multi-year plan to where they need to be?
And a big part of that is, and where we've been successful is we've in a lot of our business has been generated by referrals, a huge part of it actually, where we've gone into an environment, fixed a problem, developed a relationship, and then that organically grew. They told their friends about it. They told their colleagues at other companies. And next thing you know, they're calling us and say, hey, we got a problem too. We've kind of become known in our space as the people you call when no one else can fix it. Now, it sounds a little egotistical, but we have a proven track record of doing this for several companies now. James will be a little shy and won't bring light to this, but we had one customer, a major university in downtown Atlanta, that had been through several partners in our space with this particular issue, and no one could fix it. And those are the sorts of issues we really, really love and thrive on, because we like to be the ones to fix that others failed at. And so James went in there, and it was if I recall, it was a Linux issue of some kind. And James is basically a savant. I'm teasing a little bit, but seriously, he's meant to certify now. But he's a super smart guy, and he went in there and worked, and within no time, within a day, had the problem fixed. And that led to a huge relationship with them, where we've done a lot of subsequent business, not with that university, but opened other doors to other universities for us.
It's funny you say that, because I've been sitting here thinking I feel so intimidated by James and Jeremiah right now, and I feel like they've forgotten more than I'll ever know. But I'll tell you, if it comes to IT stuff, these are the guys that I want in my corner.
Well, if there's a niche you want to be in the market, it's the niche of, yeah, when nobody else can fix it, you can call us. And obviously that, to some extent, sets your prices. But I think also, and you guys can talk about this a little bit more, but we also need to be careful on the road here. But you guys have said, look, we don't just come in and sell you stuff. Really are solutions. And I'm sure you're not the only IT that's about solutions, but that's probably what people need more, because when people call an IT, I think the first thing they think is, oh, Lord, they're going to replace everything.
Right. Yeah, anybody can sell hardware, right? So we have nothing special. Anybody can go to any other technology provider, plenty of websites out there. You can buy hardware. So that doesn't differentiate us in any way. We differentiate ourselves based upon the relationship and based upon the services. And so we have our customers, and like Jeremiah was saying, we're very much relationship-based. And a vast majority of our growth has been entirely word of mouth and people saying, hey, these guys did a great job for us. You should talk to them. And we come in and look at what they have. And then we hope that within our initial meeting, where we kind of dream with the customer, we inspire them as what is your environment now? We say, yeah, if you can have this beautiful roadmap where fast forward 6 months and now you're here, fast forward another 6 months and now you're here, and you look then 2 years down the road and now you're in a dramatically better place than you were, and you didn't spend a ton of money up front. We did a stage process, phasing in things as they make sense from budget perspective and from just a sense of timing of migration perspective. And when we can do that with a customer and really make it more about we, where it's not us and them, but we, where we're truly part of them and operating as just an extension of their company, that's where we really, really shine. We love doing that.
Mike, you said you're worried that they've forgotten more than you know. I'm sitting here thinking that they will laugh at jokes that I totally don't get, because they'll do jokes about Linux and MS-DOS and stuff, and I'll just be going, I have no idea what you're talking about.
We're talking with Jeremiah Plaskett and James Willard. They're with Byteworks. They're business partners, in fact, with Byteworks. And let me see if I can stump you guys right now. I've heard this term used. It's called heartbleed. Yes. What is this heartbleed that I'm hearing about?
So there's been a decent amount of coverage lately, but I would say, given the magnitude of this vulnerability, you see, right now CNN is running continuous coverage on most of the plane missing, but in some respects, from a security perspective, this is just as big. I mean, this is a very, very significant issue that I don't think is truly grasped by most people, because it's a fairly
complex
issue, yeah. Right? But bottom line is,
I thought of the word complex about 1 second before Jeremiah said it.
Yeah,
I feel better about myself. Go ahead,
so,
James.
Yeah, just a little difficult to explain, but the interesting thing is that it's so easy to exploit and to grab data from any vulnerable servers, and it's been known to have been out in the wild for 2 years, that the extent to which it's been exploited is not known and will never be known, because you can't, there's, it was the, usually when you exploit a system, you can leave a trail. You know, you've got log files. You can see whether or not someone came in and from what IP address. But the thing is, that this looked like normal requests. And so you're able to grab data, pretty much the memory contents of the affected servers. And that includes user passwords. It includes private keys for certificates and other encryption. A very, very big, dangerous thing.
All the stories that we've been hearing about these companies that have been losing, you know, customer information, is this tied into this Heartbleed, or is that just, is there any relation there?
It could absolutely be, because the thing is, and I'm guilty of this myself, but people use the same password across many sites. I have a few different passwords I use across different, a grouping of sites, but pretty much if you get one of those passwords, you can probably get into multiple many other accounts, places, yeah. Right? So the problem is not so much that if you have a site that wasn't vulnerable because it wasn't affected by this particular OpenSSL bug, it doesn't matter. Someone could possibly still get in because they hit a site that was vulnerable. They grabbed your user credentials and they tried it on that site. So that's where it's really dangerous, because not so much because of the affected sites, but because it means you could probably even get into unaffected sites.
So how's it affecting businesses out there, and what can businesses do to protect themselves?
The biggest thing you can do, so if you are providing content where you are an e-commerce provider or financial institution.
Secure content that right. People you don't need people to be seeing.
Credit card numbers.
If you have a site where people have to log into it, then you should immediately check to see if you're vulnerable to this. Ironically, it's mostly Linux and Unix-based systems that are vulnerable. Mostly Windows within IIS is not, which is very ironic, because typically it's the other way around. Windows is a lot more vulnerable. But in this particular case, it affects OpenSSL, which is a library used primarily within Linux. So the first thing you can do is, there's sites, if you Google, there's sites that you can check to see if your site is vulnerable to this. If it is, you should patch it immediately. If not, then you still should go through, and if you have not yet changed your password everywhere, change your password everywhere.
And if you're a business and unsure, reach out to ByteWorks and we can help you through that process.
There you go.
Said the solutions executive. Jeremiah, so talking about being a business, let me just segue into that. You guys have certainly talked about your expertise. You've talked about the different areas that you can concentrate on. Talk a little bit about kind of sweet spot for clients for you. I mean, you talked about a large university.
Right.
How small can you go? You know, a lot of business owners in Gwinnett, we are listening to the show and listening to this interview. What's your sweet spot? What's your favorite spot? What kind of clients do you guys like to work with?
That's actually a really great question. We like clients of all sizes. And we actually work with clients of all sizes, from small companies, less than 10 employees, all the way up to larger companies, over 1,000 employees. Most of our clients are kind of in the middle of that range, but we absolutely have experience helping, you know, the small, medium business market all the way up to the enterprise market.
And I think that goes back to solutions and relationship.
Correct.
Right. I think when you only sell hardware, it's like, well, here's our box. We got to stay in our
correct.
Box.
Correct. That's a big thing about ByteWorks and us four partners, you know, how we've built this company and the principles that we sell and go to market with. As a matter of fact, we have a thing where we don't use the term sales in our company at all. We don't have any position that has the term sales in it. We are completely engineering led. And the reason why we're that way, it comes from our own background. We used to be in those IT positions where we would seek the professional help, consulting help, which we now provide. And we've seen it done in a way where it's all about slinging hardware. It's all about, oh, what's the latest Cisco switch or router that is on special that me, Mr. Sales Guy, can make the most points off of, to be quite frank. And whether or not that was the right router switch that actually was going to fix the IT problem. So having seen this in our own careers, when we built ByteWorks, we wanted to make sure that we lead with engineering, we go in and we make sure that we try to focus only on the problem that they're having first and foremost, even giving away the solution in the first meeting. Say, oh, okay, this is your problem. Here's the answer. There's no charge for that answer, because when you endear that trust, then that's what leads to a relationship down the road. And so that model works for whatever size company.
And I think also, I'm going to say something that sounds smart, but you guys, I'm sure, have thought of this. I think also when you do that, the client says, oh my goodness, here's a trusted partner that we can wade into the incredibly right. churny and deep waters of IT that I really never understand, you know,
right.
because it, it's almost like in the old days of the car repair shop, you know, is he taking advantage of me here?
Right.
If they mm-hmm. know that they can trust you, then they're like, man, you can, whatever you say, let's go through this and make it together.
We know we've been successful when the customer is also using terms like we, instead of you or you guys. When it's a very much the conversation is centered around the working together and the teamwork with it, and when you can't really draw a line anymore between us and them, that's when we know we've done what we're supposed to do.
I thought James was going to say, we know we're successful when they start using words like OpenSSL and some of the other things they've thrown out that I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying.
I love the things you're saying, because we're actually very similar here at Business Radio X, the way we do and conduct our business. So that's really cool to hear that. For those out there that are listening right now that would like to find out more about BiteWorks, and maybe they have some questions, and maybe have you, do you guys consult? Is there an initial consultation fee, or you come in and talk without that fee? How does that first meeting begin?
Well, yeah, like Jeremiah was saying, we like to come in and we just like to talk and understand the environment, understand the problems, and just try to dream with the customer. And we love whiteboards. We'll go into do a whiteboarding session, kind of draw out the current environment, draw out what they could be moving to perhaps solve some of those problems, just kind of off the cuff engineering.
And no consultation fee for that, by the way.
We do that completely free of charge, because we love to do that. We're passionate about it, and we hope that then is experienced by the customer, a potential customer, and that they will then want to pursue a deeper relationship and make it a long-term engagement.
I like the fact, Stephen, that you have, you know, young men here that have been friends for a long time, and they've got this IT company that is just, you know, it's growing. Gosh knows where it'll be in 5 years. It's kind of like the almost like the whole Bill Gates situation. Not that you're going to become Microsoft, but it's kind of cool, you know, that, you know, they really understand IT and they're friends, and it's growing.
Although Bill Gates was probably known for slinging software. So.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Pretty ruthlessly.
But you get the analogy
Hey, they had me at We Lead with Engineering. That's all I needed to hear as a former tech guy. So sign them up.
All right. For those that want to find out more, give us all the pertinent information, website, emails, yep. if you want to pass it along, passwords, whatever you want to send.
Well, our website's www.biteworks.com. That's BYTE works, WORKS.com. We're on Twitter at BiteWorks. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/BiteWorks LLC.
All right. Jeremiah Plaskett, James Willard with BiteWorks. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And when you're walking up there, can you just kind of keep it down a little bit? You're making a lot of noise.
We'll try.
It's probably the scooter. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Oh, do you really have one up there?
We do have electric scooters up there that we ride around.
Nice.
We work hard, play hard.
Can we check out your offices sometime soon?
Anytime.
Please do.
You're welcome.
Great. As long as there's not a lot of traffic getting there, right?
Well, Mike, all I was doing was I was flashing back to old Friends episodes. Who was the neighbor below that would bang the roof with the broom? I can't remember his name, but one of our listeners will remember. So he died in one of the episodes. So I hope that doesn't happen to you for getting mad at BiteWorks above you riding around on their scooter. But the electric scooters would be silent, wouldn't they?
They're pretty silent.
Yeah. All right. It's more when they drop the hard drives. All right. Moving on. Mike's getting frustrated. Yeah,
are you done, Stephen?
Yes. I'm putting out my own noose here. Go ahead.
All right. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio from Minskoff Growth Strategies, the president and owner, Robert Minskoff. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Got a tough act to follow here.
Well, you know what? These guys opened up a great door for me because they epitomize what every salesperson should be doing. They said, we don't have sales titles. We don't have salespeople. But James mentioned, we go in and we talk about we dream with them. And every salesperson and every company out there should have that same philosophy. They want, and I'm going to steal a quote I saw from a speaker a few weeks ago. It should be them, us, fit, proof. And you guys epitomize that. It's not leading with, we're just here to sell you something. We see a long-term vision. And that's something as a 20-year sales professional that's taken me 19 and a half years to probably learn. But and that's essentially what I help B2B companies with is lead generation, lead nurturing, strategic sales consulting, I like to call it. One thing all companies need are more and better customers. And with the advent of technology and social media, people think, you know, I got this great website and got 10,000 Twitter followers and all these Facebook fans. But you know what? Nobody ever buys anything. And the fact that you still have to have somebody to pick up the phone and express the right message to the right person at the right time to be able to engage them and qualify them. Because salespeople, and I've been guilty of this, will chase anything. And they will think that they, you know, are dealing with the right person, and they just are trying to show some sort of activity to their sales manager. Look at all these people I'm talking to. My CRM's exploding with activity. But at the end of the month, they fall short of their quota because they haven't really been properly qualified. So those are all those components come into lead generation, lead nurturing, and helping my clients find better customers for them. So
you're helping these companies that are going, you know, that they want to do business with other companies. You're right. Helping them grow their business, B2B, as you talked about. I can walk out that door, though, and go, you know, 20 feet in any direction, and you come across so many companies and individuals that say they do that as well. What makes Minskoff Growth Strategies unique and different from all the others out there?
Well, if you ask 100 salespeople or 100 consultants that same question, you're going to get 100 different answers. My experience is everybody kind of has the same wants and needs in life. You know, you guys are business people, and, you know, you have the same challenges as I do, and Mike and everybody in here. You know, you just want to be able to get your boss off your back, make your goals, keep your company profitable. My brother-in-law is a highly successful businessman in North Carolina, and he once told me that there's really only three things in business you need to worry about, and that's your customers, your product or service, and your employees. And if any one of those goes over, it's kind of like a three-legged stool. And so, you know, I try to focus on that customer aspect. But to answer your question, my real differentiation, it's a very collaborative approach. I try to become, you know, a seamless enterprise that, you know, if I'm actually helping the client making the outbound calls and the email marketing, that their clients, their prospective customers don't know that I'm an outsourced company. The process is generally always the same. It's just the company that I represent or work with, it's their product or service, whether it's IT or whether it's, you know, logistics, or it doesn't really matter. The finding people that are interested in what you do and how you do it and how you fit with them, that's universal. So I kind of quoted or kind of came up with a little concept. Well, I just call it selling like a human. You know, if you just understand the person on the other side of that desk, that's your customer, your prospect, they just want to know that they can count on you, they can trust you. And things always go wrong in business. And it's how you deal with it. Are you going to, you know, are you just there to get the contract signed? And, you know, who do I call if I have a problem? Is it an account manager? Is it an 800 number? Can I call you, the salesperson?
Well, when you boil it down, Robert, whether it's IT or a product or business radio or whatever it is, it all comes down to relationships.
Bingo.
And you're helping people with the relationships.
Well, yes, that's part of it. But it's really, you know, because I tend to work with clients that have, you know, that need, you know, a pretty large, an IT company like you guys, if you had 500 customers, you'd be a little overwhelmed. But, you know, so people that want a substantial amount of prospects to fill a pipeline, it's about the beginning relationship. When you pick up that phone and make that first call to the buyer or the C-level, how do you engage them? So it is about the relationship, but it's the message. Are you able to qualify them? People think, you know, they're just like all my other customers, but they may not have any money. They may be on the verge of bankruptcy. They may be getting bought. Those are all things that a lot of salespeople and prospectors don't think about. And just to take the time and to do your homework on who you're going after, and big companies and B2B companies, they don't want to invest in that time. They just, you know, you make 80 calls a day and I don't care. Just put it in the CRM. You know, if you can sell something, it's just, you know, throwing stuff against the wall. And that's an old way of thinking. And there's 500 companies behind you that can do it faster and cheaper. And then that's when it does boil down to the relationship.
Robert, the name of the company is Growth Strategies. If I'm a business owner, I'm sitting here and going, yep, I could use some growth, and I definitely need some strategy. I know you tailor a lot of what you do to different businesses, but can you walk us through the process? I'm a business owner. I call you, and I say, I need some help with my growth strategy. Where do you like to start, and what is the process for that company? And if you want to go from beginning to end and can do it and share it with us quickly, go for it. But at least where it starts.
Well, much like what James said, my first question is, what have you been doing up to this point? What's led us to this conversation? And a lot of times it's, I churn and burn through salespeople and, something's changed in the industry. So I kind of take it from what they've been doing up to prior to our conversation. And it's very collaborative. I've had clients that have been in, sustainable industries, which is a huge burgeoning industry. And, just understanding who they want to go after. Because sometimes people think, my product or service is universal, which a lot of times it's not. Right. IT, what you guys do may be great for a college university, but it may not be right for healthcare or some other industry. So business owners and higher in VP of sales, sometimes they think they know where their products fit the best. But when you talk to the salespeople and the marketing people, they're usually don't always jive. So it's understanding really where they want to go from there, who they want to talk to, who's their best prospects, how they want to engage them. So it just starts with a simple conversation from there. And, sometimes I can't help. And sometimes I tell them, you guys are doing the right thing. Keep going. And then sometimes they just need somebody to – like I work with a lot of companies that are just single people. They have great product or service, but they don't understand, when a guy tells me this, what should I say or how do I kind of – so it's a little bit – I hate to use the word coaching, but it's – or just helping. But that's really – it just starts with that initial conversation.
And you said earlier in the interview that sometimes you want the potential clients to see that it's seamless because sometimes it sounds like you're getting your hands dirty. It's not just, you've written a book and here, read this or go through my seminar.
Oh, right. This is the way I started the company was they would hire me and I would – they would – because today, all I need is an email address, tap into their CRM, and they often will tap me into their voicemail. And, hi, it's Robert calling on behalf of Biteworks or Business Radio X. And the prospects don't know it because then that way – and then so that's a lot of the bulk, but I've been starting to really transition more into a training model where you might have three or four inside salespeople or you want to bring people inside. But, I see ads all the time and companies, $12 an hour for someone to make 80 calls a day. You might as well just put an ad in the Yellow Pages or, just Google ad. I mean, you're not going to – so if you're going to invest in a competent professional inside sales team, look at it as an investment for the long term.
You're listening to Robert Minskoff. He's with Minskoff Growth Strategies here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Are there certain size companies that you work with or certain industries that you kind of specialize with?
Yeah, I like the sustainable industry. I've done a lot of work and a lot of networking. Atlanta and the South has a huge sustainable market. I've had clients that do I had a client here in Gwinnett County a couple of years ago that did that converted fleets of vehicles to auto gas or non, gasoline operated vehicles. So, and they primarily work with municipalities. They wanted to get more into a commercial aspect. So I help their sales and marketing person kind of broaden out. But I like sustainability. Well-funded startups are nice. if they, because they always have great products and great ideas, but the people behind them think, it's the next best thing. People beat our door down. And a lot of times it is the next best thing, but they can't convey that message quickly, easily, and in a digestible fashion. So startups, really size of companies, if they're really, I steer away from, the big companies because a lot of times they've got it figured out and they don't need the help. If they come calling, great. But, usually kind of that 10 to 50 person spot, generally B2B environment.
Obviously, if a company uses Minskoff Growth Strategies, they get you. Tell us about you and your background and what you bring to the table and your experience and then why you decided to start this company.
Well, after 17, 18, 20 years of selling, there's little I haven't seen, whether it's been in just simple transactional selling. I've worked for companies that have done, where I've sold into distribution, retail, the last 12, 14 years have been strictly just in a traditional environment. But they get me, they get my experience. I've got to try to think I have a pretty vast network of folks that bring other, talents to the table. The impetus for this company was I was working for a company a few years ago. And they used an outside appointment setting company. And there's a lot of great companies that do that. But after about the 10th or 11th time I would show up, they would say, I told that woman, I have no interest in this, or you need to change your marketing, because I told them, because the incentive for the appointment setter was just to get that on the books. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. And it's not just about appointment setting, but it's about, you know, getting, you know, better quality people to your door. And the other real thing is that, you know, I've worked a long time as a contractor, and there's a lot of great companies out there that say, you know, we got a great product, you can make all this money, but it takes 6 months, 9 months, a year to get that. So the bulk of your time is prospecting. Salespeople hate to prospect. I don't mind it. I like it. I love data and the information and finding stuff. And, you know, in the sale, if when you find the right people and you build the right relationship, you can sell about anything. So salespeople hate the prospect. So there's a lot of companies out there that just want their salespeople in front of customers, but they need someone or something to bring the qualified people to them. So I was kind of filling a niche and doing something I enjoy. And it, you know, and every time I get a new client in a different industry, it's like kind of starting a whole new job. And I learn a lot. I mean, whether it's been, one of my earliest clients was logistics, man, I know everything about LTL that you ever want to know, you know, or sustainability. I've had a great client last year in digital media. I didn't know the first thing about it. I mean, I knew very little about it, but now, I mean, I could sell you ads all day long if you want. And so I learn a lot. And
you know anything about Heartbleed?
All I know is that I need to talk to these guys about updating my Windows XP to something new. So, but I just
what's your password, by the way?
It's
okay. Sorry,
I can't remember. Okay. But
so Robert, I wanted to ask you this question: if I could stick you in a room with a bunch of business owners here in the Gwinnett County area that are kind of in your niche, that 10 to 50 range, are there some myths? Are there some lies that they've been listening to about selling and growth and marketing that you would kind of want to go? And it sounds like one of them you've kind of already answered about the, you know, beware of the appointment setter.
And by the way, this is only a 45-minute show, because I have a feeling Robert could go off for a long time on this.
Well, I threw him a softball question. It's just, what home run does he want to hit, left, center, or right field?
Well, I'm gonna bunt. How's that? The biggest myth, I'm kind of a sales nerd. I read a lot of stuff and a lot of, you know, blogs and things like that. And there's a lot of fantastic information. There's a lot of fantastic people that do what I do that have great information. The biggest myth is that now with the advent of social media, it's social selling, which to me, all selling is social. So there's no real difference. But people think, well, you know what? If you just get on LinkedIn and Twitter and all this stuff, people are going to beat your door down. To me, that's all social prospecting, because I live and breathe that stuff. And it's a great way to find people, connect with people, and just – because then it's all about the network. But those, just because, you know, just because James is connected with me on LinkedIn doesn't mean he's going to hire me.
Weren't those the same people that 10 years ago were saying all you have to do is build a website, and then before that, all you have to do is send a fax out,
right.
You know, and before that, it was, you know.
Exactly, because the people that promote social selling, generally their companies are consulting companies that say, this is how you become socialized in the media world. And not to take away from it, because, I mean, I love social media just as much as I think it's fantastic, the greatest thing. But it's really – that's really designed for marketing and getting your message out, engaging with your customer base. But you can't really – especially in a long, complex sales cycle, if you're selling IT or some sort of healthcare, health insurance or something that where the sales cycle can be 60, 90, 100 days long, you know – just because they're like you on Facebook doesn't mean they're going to buy from you.
It's a step in the process. It's not the
exactly.
only step in the process.
I consider social media just the newest and a better way than old marketing. Instead of putting a billboard on the side of a bus, you've got a great web page integrated with your blog and, you know, and some white papers. And it all kind of ties into that. But it doesn't. You still have to find the person you want to talk to and say, this is what we do. We think you might be a good fit, you know, 10 minutes of your time. And then also having the realization to say, you know what, it's not a good fit. I got 12,000 other people I can call, you know, and just have that understanding.
Robert Minskoff with Minskoff Growth Strategies is our guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio. What are some new concepts, Robert, and strategies for 2014 that companies might be able to use today?
Something that I have to say, I wish I could claim it for my own, but it's something I, you know,
go ahead. Why not?
Well, I think the two new buzzwords that from Fortune 100 companies down to my company, it's all about the customer experience from the time they pick up the phone, hit your website, walk through your door, whatever it is, it better be stellar. And
that's nothing new, but sometimes people forget that.
They do. And I'll tell you what, I've had two specific examples. I was in a large retailer last Friday, asked for something very simple from the manager, and the words I hate to hear from anybody is, especially when it's my money, is, I can't. It's not our policy. You know what my policy is? I'm going to spend my money somewhere else. And so I have no problem going on Twitter and say, I did it with my cell phone carrier not too long ago, and said, you know, it wasn't even that big of a deal. It was just like a little billing issue. And I call up and I get when you got 90 million customers, really, they don't really care about you. But it's the greater concept. But when you're a small company, you got 300 customers, every interaction with your company, be it at the beginning or the end, better be just stellar. And if something does go wrong, have an action plan. You know, what are you going to do if you're, you know, if your guy drops the package or whatever it might be, you know? So how do you respond to it?
Let's make sure Robert gets like an extra gift on the way out today, just so he speaks highly of us.
And don't drop it.
Right.
For those business leaders and business owners that are out there and they have heard what you've had to say and go, you know what, I want to have a conversation with this guy. And Stephen asked the question, you know, where does that begin? Where can they find out more information about Minskoff Growth Strategies?
Well, it won't be a fax. it'll be MinskoffGrowthStrategies.com. It's MinskoffGrowthStrategies.com. GrowthStrategies.com, Twitter at Minskoff GS, Robert at Minskoff GrowthStrategies.com. And it's kind of, you know, an unusual name, so it's not hard to find. Or hit Google.
and you mentioned the companies that you kind of specialize in, but even if they're not sure if they're a right fit for you, you obviously mentioned earlier you have a network that you can, you know, help, you know, say, hey, I might not be your guy, but let me send you this way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and it's always, even like these guys here, I could probably think of 50 people that, you know, I'd be nice because, you know, I know some other IT companies, but it's always nice because when you're in that initial stage with someone, you know, a lot of times they'll express pains in other areas. You know what? What you do is important, but man, I got it. My servers are down, or, you know, my people are complaining about their health insurance. So if you can kind of be a resource for other aspects, you know, it brings value. And kind of like what James said, you know, just to hit on the fact that, you know, if you provide enough value up front, people will come back and pay for the rest. You know, they see you as a valuable resource, and whether you're selling, you know, office equipment or office space or business radio, it's just all about the relationship and the value and understanding that, you know, who you're dealing with and how you fit in with them. So,
all right, Robert Minskoff, Minskoff Growth Strategies, and it's MinskoffGrowthStrategies.com, Minskoff.
Minskoff, right. You got it.
Did I say it wrong?
No.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So not this time, Mike.
Yeah. Usually I screw them up.
Most people do misspell it.
Robert, the president and owner, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right. And also want to thank, of course, Jeremiah and James from ByteWorks as well. Quick reminder that you can enjoy this program and any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs anytime, day or night, 24/7 by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. Also be sure to follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X. If you want to see what these guys look like, just go to our Twitter page. Also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/GwinnettRadioX. For Stephen Julian.
Mike, I got to hurry back to my office. I have to type out my chain sales letter on my Selectric typewriter and use my mimeograph machine to get some dittos done.
All right. And since I've asked everybody else, I'll ask you, what's your password?
It's Mike is the best.
Don't suck up to me. Suck up to Robert. He's the one that's going to be writing good or bad things about Business Radio X.
I just didn't say which Mike.
All right. I'm Mike Sam, and I think I'm the one Steven's talking about. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.